goes towards anything other than charity and the charity need. Our goal is part of the $30,000 I'd like to raise for August event. If this child is healthy enough, I'd like to send the family the distance. You know, let them go down and enjoy and do whatever. But your listeners do not have to worry about any percentage of the donations. Like, I mean, all charity, I guess, is good, but you're right. Some of your bigger charities, when you see that the CEO is making $5 million a year, with Deneen's minus probably over the years, her and her husband's probably minus $50,000 out of their own pocket.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you get involved in something, that's the way it goes. You, many times you end up reaching into your own pocket to make things work, you know?
Yeah. And that's what we do. That's absolutely, you know, what we do.
Do you remember, we're not going to use his name, but do you remember our attorney from DC?
Absolutely.
Our attorney friend?
Yeah.
And since we're not mentioning his name, a complete maniac, right?
Right.
He was a lawyer for a number of charities, like 20 different charities, right? And he, these are big charities in D.C., 501c3 nonprofit charities. And he was their lawyer, so he did all the legal work. And he said all they do all day is they like, speed dial people and call people, you know, cold call people. And they make a lot of money doing this, right? And then they weren't kicking, you know. He came in when the IRS would sweep in and say, you're not giving enough to charity. You guys are. So, I mean, this is a really pervasive problem. And we know, you and I both know, an attorney who was called in to put out these kind of fires coming from a 501c3 nonprofit. And everybody now has one of these. You know, political, everybody has one of these, and it's, and many, we've reported on here, abuse it. So it's good to see when people aren't abusing it and they use it for what it's meant for, and the money goes out to the people who need it. But the abuse is there, well, you know?
It's a struggle for us because we're not a multi-million dollar 501c3. We're a grassroots, you know, nonprofit that Deneen came up with the name, the number four heroes, to serve police, fire, military, first responders and their families. But yet we go much further beyond that. We try not to tell anybody no, just like we've discussed on your show before. At Thanksgiving, we feed, you know, the elderly Thanksgiving dinner in the town of Westville. So we don't have that major overhead where that money comes and goes out to our personal needs. If money's tight, you know, for the other group, the rolling badges, you know, we do a fundraiser. We had a cow pop and did a fundraiser, but it doesn't come out of the Four Heroes charity.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of that cow thing. That was fun for the whole family. I think the kids would like that one.
It's crazy. We're going to try to do another one, but you know, whoever thought, somebody approached me about a fundraiser with a cow plop. And I'm like, what? People going to win money where a cow poops? Well, in 4 minutes, a guy won $10,000. Two cows came out within 4 minutes. One decided to go to the bathroom and the guy got $10,000 cash, and you know, the Rolling Badges got $10,000 and the Four Heroes charity. And that event helped cover our overhead and our bills.
Now people are saying, what the hell are you talking about? You guys grid off a field like you would, I guess, like, and people have their own boxes or their own grid numbers. And then the cows roam around the field, and where they go to the bathroom, that's the winner.
The first one to go. There's 1,000 grids. We've had a request, believe it or not, the grids are $20. We had a request that we up it to $100 a grid, but only sell 200 grids. And one of Deneen's friends' fathers raises cows for 4-H, and he's generous enough to bring two cows in, and each grid randomly, they don't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The computer generates the number, so the first grid could be 999, the second grid could be 3, the next one 700. So it's all random. The cows walk around for a couple of minutes. Wherever the first cow goes, everything's over. Last time we did it took an hour and a half prior, and this one recently was 4 minutes.
Now, you guys might, with that kind of return on your investment, you guys might be rivaling the cow shit that they're shoveling in D.C. and making money on. That's a pretty good return. But, okay, so you got that going. And you know what I was talking to you about? I'm glad I remembered it because last time we did this over Christmas, I think that the while people reach into their own pockets, that's fantastic, of course. But I think if people have a business out there and things, and they're looking to kick some fun somewhere, this is a pretty good place to start. And corporations are looking for people to help. I know when I was at Citigroup, we helped March of Dimes all the time, March of Dimes, March of Dimes. And I was the dick at the meeting saying, why do we keep fucking helping March of Dimes? Aren't there local people we can help? And they're like, oh my God, what is the matter with you? And then we started looking at some of the local stuff and we got involved in that. You know, big corporations, small corporations, mid-sized corporations, they really do have the wherewithal to make a larger difference than many individual. And I know some want to get involved in these things. And we have people who are listening. You could be, you know what, I think you've received some donations from overseas from our listeners. I mean, there's people all over the world listening to us. So, you know,
don't think you're
limited by a geographic region or you're limited because you're a corporation in Germany or somewhere in the UK. I mean, there's people kicking money in all over the place. I mean, I would say it's a pretty good thing. Maybe somebody's got an old copy machine laying around. Not old, but I mean, the one that they're not using or they're moving, and there's all kind of things happening. You know,
right.
There's
this other southern nonprofit I was talking about. They needed money to buy their own building. And they do well in marketing. We don't do well in marketing. I don't know how to market. I just can only speak from my heart and whatever. And they market it and they put out that they needed this $575,000 to buy a building. And this husband and wife, needless to say, they're multi-millionaires, but they personally wrote a check to this nonprofit for $575,000 and they purchased this building so they can continue their nonprofit. Personally, I would take $575,000 and fill half the requests we have to help people that, you know, we can't meet the needs.
And, you know, it's funny, like Four Heroes and Rolling Badges, because there's been such a pullback with a reduction, I won't even call it a pullback. Pullback seems like it's something voluntary. A reduction, a slicing of funds and state and federal budgets and things like this. You know, it's always the folks on the front lines, folks on Main Street to get screwed. There's such a need for people to come in and stopgap this stuff and say, well, we can help. You know, we got something. We have our own mousetrap over here. We can help you folks as well. And, you know,
if people just understood, everybody has the ability. And I don't mean this to be an affront to any of your listeners. Everybody has the ability to contribute in some fashion, whether it's not you personally, but hey, I know my cousin owns a business, or hey, I know this one does this. Everybody has an ability to contribute in some fashion. It's just a matter of, if you have the philosophy, you got to pay it forward. And as Deneen discussed, you know, a lot of people are blessed that have healthy children. And, you know, we did a thing at Christmas also for a police officer who was a lieutenant that woke up one day with a headache and had brain cancer and he lost his job. So we went in for toys. I mean, it's just, The real need for people. I'm not talking about the scammers. We're not going to buy a $6 million home from the people's donations, but the real people that have a need, it's amazing that are out there that have a serious need for help.
And many, you know, many of them suffer in silence too. And you wait until it's too late. You're like, well, you know, something will change. And then you just find yourself in a bigger hole. And then, you know what it is? I mean, I found that people usually come to us and they say, listen, this person doesn't want really anybody to know this, but they're in a pretty bad way. And they don't even know that I'm talking to you. Is there something you can do for them? And it's like friends who try to help them out or try to get them to come forward, because everybody, I don't know, there's like a negative stigma attached to not doing well or failing. I think it's part of life. I think it's part of the cycle of life. And everybody needs help every now and then. And then, like you say, paying it forward. If you get it, if somebody does you a solid, well, and then you start rocking and rolling and doing well, then you can't forget about that. There's somebody else that you can help bring up too, and help, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, we have, I could, in all honesty, I could spend $500,000 today in requests that we have that people need, you know, with no exaggeration. But that's the premise of it right there. It's, you just have to pay it forward and know that you can go to sleep at night, and maybe you made that person, that child, that family, you know, a little bit better. They have, the people in need, Mike, have a lot of pride.
Yeah.
And we do get a lot of emails or phone calls exactly how you described it. Listen, you know, the Jones family doesn't know I'm doing this, but here's their situation. You know, what can the you know, four heroes do? And like Deneen just said, most of the time, 95% of the time, it's not the families directly that come to us for help. It's the public community. It's a relative. It's a neighbor. It's somebody. But very, very seldom is it the family that says, hey, I need help. This family with the child that we're doing in August, they didn't come to us. You know, all geared up came to us because they know the grandfather, and they came to us to see if we could help. And they mentioned it one of the Rolling Badges meeting. And people want to talk about cops and whatever. So they mentioned at the Rolling Badges meeting, after the meeting, the members took out of their pocket total in cash $1,200 and gave it to them out of their own pocket and said, here, give this to the family, give this to the family, give this to the family.
Yeah, I mean, so, since, you know, 2008, of course, it's been a war on law enforcement officers. And I have my, you know, I have my contacts too. You know, we know a lot of cops, and you know a lot of the cops I know and stuff, and they're all fantastic guys and gals too. And so, you know, I mean, sometimes I get mad at cops because they're human beings, you know, they're not infallible, but they have big hearts for the most part. I've seen these guys put together a lot of money. They have a lot of contacts too. We have a fantastic operation that we also support in Western Pennsylvania. It's not really similar to yours. It's much smaller. But they give 100% of what they bring in, and they put it on the street. You know, they show up at people's houses like the prize patrol type thing. You know, they show up with balloons and stuff, and then they just give cash and things like that. But it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be large. It just has to be. People right. out there trying to pay it forward, you know what I mean?
We, you know, and tell you a downfall. Years ago, we did a golf tournament for a child that had cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is dear to my son-in-law's heart because his best friend had it until he died. So we did this for this child. And then the mother called us and wanted us to pay her gas bills, to go back and forth to the hospital, wanted us to fix her air conditioner. Like, she just went on this list, and we don't give cash. We wrote a check to help pay part of their medical bills, but we don't give them cash to misuse it. Well, she turned out to be a nightmare. She, I'll turn you into the state. I'll do this. Go ahead. Fine. You do whatever you have to do. So we're very cautious who we support. And that's one of the reasons why we don't give cash. And out of all the fundraising we've done and all the families and children, and, you know, we bought a kid hearing aids years ago that he couldn't, his hearing aids didn't work with the school. So we bought a hearing aid so it would work. We've never encountered that. It was just one family and one mother that said, okay, well, I think we wound up paying $18,000 worth of medical bills, and that wasn't good enough. She wanted us to pay everything else under the sun, which we didn't
do.
Well,
you're always going to come across that, at least that one person. That's how you know you're you're doing well. Well, we've come across that one person now. She or he's out of the way, and we can move on. I saw you guys, there was a cat who wasn't getting around very well. I think he was like a Navy vet, and you guys bought a motorized like wheelchair for him. That was really cool, and he was moving around and getting things done. And
he was in a coma for a year. He was a Vietnam vet, was in a coma for a year. The federal government said that they would buy a wheelchair while he was paralyzed on his right-hand side. So they were going to buy him a regular wheelchair, which, as a family joke, the only thing he could have done.
Yeah, we're going to go around in circles.
Yeah, women go around in circles.
Well, that's like dealing with the feds.
So we bought him an electric wheelchair. He was able to, they never thought he was going to wake up, but he did. He was able to get out of the facility that he was in and has a semi-normal life where he can now do things. He can go outside. We just did another electric wheelchair for another veteran who's in a home and was confined to his room in his bed because he couldn't get around. He ate by himself. He did whatever. We got him an electric wheelchair. His grandson is a police officer. And now he's able to get on the elevator, and he has breakfast with the rest of the residents. And I talked to his grandson earlier this morning, and I said, how's your grandpa doing? He said, he's so grateful and so blessed that the four heroes did this, because now he gets to talk to people. He gets to eat with dinner with them and whatever, all because he has an electric wheelchair.
Yeah. You take so much for granted. I saw that guy come in. He was like, the guy you talked about, the Vietnam vet, you could tell he was just like, you know, battered and just almost probably depressed. And then when he got in this thing, he was like a different person. He was like, whoa, you know, I can direct where I'm going. I can say, I have a say where I'm going and how I'm getting there. And that guy was so stoked. It was ridiculous.
You know? Yeah. He had no idea we were doing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His son brought him and said, they're having like a barbecue, and he had no clue. The wheelchair was all wrapped and whatever, and they put it alongside of him, unwrapped it, lift him up and put him in that. And as you said, his life changed, and so did his demeanor and his expressions.
See, that's good stuff. See, my kids will give me, they'd wrap up a rusty wheelchair for Christmas. And say, Dad, you're opening up your big gift. Yep, it's only, and this is for the home. We put you in the home.
Oh, he took, my kids are going to put me in a wheelchair and leave me on the beach and wait for high tide to come.
You'll be all right.
Yeah.
Just strap snorkel. In, man. Strap in. You just leave the wheelchair there, and then you can call me and hit your ride, and they'll be like, we don't know. He vanished. No one knows where he is. The wheelchair is still there. My kids would grab the wheelchair and go to a pawn shop and get what they could for it and say, well, I guess he might show up again. I don't know. We can't leave that wheelchair on the beach. That's money on the table.
That's money.
Of course, that's, I'm kidding. Money. My kids are great, but they do like to bust chops, which makes sense, you know?
In today's world, you have to laugh about something. If not, we'll all go crazy.
Oh, everybody's so wound, so tight. It's ridiculous. So, okay, we're going to do four heroes charity. You know what? I figured out, too, as time goes on. I could put this link of
Denise
yours.
Denise's going to give you the Venmo address.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, yeah. She can email it to me because this is going out in a couple days.
Okay.
You know?
I can.
You can text it or email. And then what I found out that I could put this, I could put your web address inside the episode notes. So people that are on Apple, like Apple Podcasts, can just click right on your thing without having to go to, you know, your site, which is actually good now that I'm learning actually how to do things properly instead of like caveman.
So you're updating with the times.
Yeah, I mean, not really.
Me too.
I can't believe you're 39. That is so depressing to me. I don't know why.
No.
At least you're not 40, like I told your dad. At least you're not 40 next year. You're really to be depressed. But I remember when you were just a little tyke.
I was in high school.
Maybe you weren't that little. I don't know. Everybody seems. You were in high school?
Dad, how old was I? When I first met Mr. Moore.
Oh, you were in probably 7th grade.
There you go. I was little. I'm still littler.
7th grade. Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, no wonder you and your dad got along so well. People would say that he's still in the 7th grade. Like me, my wife says, you keep getting worse. I think you're... Last week I was an 8-year-old. This week I'm a 6-year-old. So...
Young at heart.
I think it's going well for me. Well, this is good stuff. We'll see what we can get going for this Christmas in July for you folks. And my wife, I have some fraternity thing on the same weekend that you guys are having this Christmas in July, right? And I said, yeah, I'll probably go up the fraternity thing. And she said, isn't that when the Weekend for Heroes charity has their event? And I said, yeah. So she said, you're going to go drink beer instead of doing something for the kids? I said, well, I guess I'm going to Four Heroes Charity. Like I said, I was never going to go to that thing. I told her I was just testing you. You passed, damn it.
That's funny.
So I think we're going to come out to that. We'll see how that goes. And, you know, Deb's all about the kids. You know, she's all about the kids. So she literally looked at me like the one eyebrow goes up, and I'm like, okay, we're going. I'll see Les on that day.
I look forward to it, pal.
We'll get something going for you, and as a matter of course, as you said, you drug me out of the closet. We will also be getting behind it, so we will put, for some of the folks who listen who can't or are not in a position to contribute, we will represent them. And pay it forward what they've given us, both in time and resources, and we will make a contribution on behalf of them, and we will make sure that your event is a success, plain and simple. So,
thank you very, very much, and thank you to your listeners in advance.
All right, folks, we'll do it again. You guys stay out of trouble.
All right, thank you, Mike.
All right, see you. Take care.
Bye.
when you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. I'll take your part. Oh, when darkness falls and the pain is all around, yeah, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down, oh, like a bridge over troubled water, I will sail on, silver girl, sail on by, your time has come to shine.